So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Trending with Timory. This is Stacy Trusenko's guest hosting for our lovely Timory, who is still out enjoying her bundle of baby girl. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Want to remind you that Relevant Radio is hosting a Fast for Life. You may have heard about it earlier today, but I want to make sure that we thoroughly examine this event that is going to take place on Friday. So as you probably have heard, the National March for Life is not taking place in person this year in Washington, D.C. They canceled the in-person gathering because of the coronavirus. So like just about every other event in our life these days, we're going to be gathering online. So the March for Life, there will be all kinds of things going on, and even later on the 29th, well, it will be on the 29th this Friday, but there will be things going on everywhere. But Relevant Radio specifically is doing a Fast for Life on that day. So we can't join in person, but we can join in our hearts and try to make an impact in for the dignity of human life and for the end of legalized abortion, the end of abortion period. So we'll be joining our hearts. Instead of standing together in the cold, joining hands or voices, we'll be shifting our focus internally. There are tens of thousands of people already signed up at Relevant Radio. They're getting very close to the goal of 10,000 if they haven't already gotten there yet. So please go there to the website, relevantradio.com, or the Relevant Radio app, and you'll see as soon as you get to the website, Fast for Life, a banner, and a place to click where you can sign up and also read about different ideas for fasting on Friday. I want to talk a little more about that in the first segment tonight because, like, this is, I don't want to say it's like geeking out or anything, but it's just like, I always want to know what everything means. And I know that you do too, because why would we do something if we don't understand what it is? Like, I'm always like, God, just tell me what it is and I'll be happy to do it. I'm all in on this Catholic thing. Well, I want to go to, of course, the favorite place to go for any kind of talk about virtues, to the Summa Theologiae, St. Thomas Aquinas, and talk about what he says about temperance. And I know, I get it. Like, everybody and their dog talks about temperance, but I'm going to talk about me and my dog and what it means in the context of being human in temperance, because I love to go to the Summa for guidance in living life. I am so going to write a book one day, and it's going to be called, instead of Summa Theologia, it's going to be called Mama Theologia, because there's all kinds of good advice for us people just trying to live our life, especially for moms, I think. There's all kinds of good advice in there that is a million times better than trying to understand like magazines and pop psychology and things like that. So I want to go through that a little bit and talk about what St. Thomas Aquinas had to say about fasting. In the second segment, I am going to be joined by a friend of mine. Her name is Deanna Johnston, and she's a colleague at the St. Philip Institute. We both work for Bishop Strickland, and she's in the director of family life at the St. Philip Institute. And I want to talk to her a little bit about what she does at the Institute, because we think it's pretty great working there. But more specifically, then, also talk about what it's like being a working mother. So I have 7 kids, and been raising kids for about 31 years, but that's just like 31 years. Like if you added up each kid individually and all the years, it'd be a lot more than that. But I still feel like I don't know anything about parenting though, because that's the one thing I've learned is your kids are all so different. Just when you think you've got the formula for being a good mom figured out, it's like, oh, I don't know where that came from. I thought I knew what to do here. And you try something, you're like, oh, I'm such a great mom, and it doesn't work. So Deanna's going to be here because she has four children. And her children are quite a bit younger than mine, so she's in a different place than I am. I can actually just, like, get in the car and go to the grocery store now. It's great. Deanna cannot do that. Deanna has, like, three car seats to strap kids in and another one who can strap her own self in the car seat, but still there's a lot of little feet she has to get put into the car. And so it's different for her than it is for me. So I'm always like, Deanna, you're going to be like me one day and you're going to have teenagers. And then we can talk about how much you'll long for the days when all you had to think about was finding pacifiers and wiping butts. But it's just life, guys. It's just life. But anyway, so we're going to talk to Deanna when she comes in this middle part of the show. And then I do want to talk in the last part more about working moms, because there was an article in the New York Post about a mom who is working. She has a kid in school, a couple of kids in school. She is working from home suddenly because of the coronavirus. I know many of you are like living the same story. Suddenly working from home. Kids are being homeschooled, online school. Her parents lived with her. They're older. She didn't want to expose them. So she and her husband decided to keep the kids home for longer and continue doing online school. But this woman and her husband were trying to work and trying to homeschool their kids and take care of her parents. And she needed to ask for flexible schedule at work, and according to the article, was fired instead. So that's got some people a little bit up in arms, but also just asking, I think, the bigger question, like, what should we expect? And I have some, like always, just some totally real life brilliant advice on how to deal with that. This coming from someone who said, I have no idea about parenting. But seriously, it's not just coronavirus. Like, things like that are going to happen all throughout life, where you kind of have to be agile. You have to be ready to analyze a situation and figure out what the best decision is, talking about prudence. So interesting stuff there. Like always, I guess my formula for doing these things is to take what we learn in our faith, our beautiful faith, and the rich treasures, ancient truths of the Catholic Church, and always reapplying them to modern day situations and how we live. So that's how you go from having a dead faith where you just know stuff to having a living faith where you're putting that stuff you know into action. It's kind of like applied mathematics. You know how to use it to figure out what you're supposed to do. So that's the formula. That's how we're going to do things. Getting back to fasting and this fast for life. And every time, I know it's Lent's coming, and every year I see all these articles about fasting and print, and I'm like, oh no, it's going to be like the Sharons coming telling us how the Karens. See, I'm so cool. I don't even know what it is. Sharons, Karens. But all these people come, the Karens. So all these people are coming that are telling me, and Karen here, the producer of the show, is looking at me now like, what are you talking about? This, we'll just call them Sharons, not Karens. I totally meant Sharons. They're out there and they're like, oh, this is what you have to do for fasting, and this is what it means, and you got to stop eating these things and give up chocolate, and don't give up chocolate unless you're giving it up for the right reasons in your heart. So I just want to go beyond all of that to really what, I mean, this helps me, because when I read what St. Thomas Aquinas says, I'm always thinking that dude is talking to me. Like, he is hitting it. Like, there's no pulling punches with him. He just tells it to you straight up how it's going to be and what it means to have virtue, what it means to practice temperance, what it means to fast and what it doesn't mean to fast. And I always feel so convicted. And that's why I like to like re-spin it into mama language, because it's kind of like the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. I find it kind of funny when I read Aquinas and I think about living daily life according to these principles and talking about this stuff. But anyway, virtue. We got to back up though. So I've mentioned before this website that I really like. It's called Aquinas.cc. So it's just spell Aquinas.cc. That's it. That's the whole web address. That's it. And it pulls up all of his works. And you can go to the Summa Theologia and you can go to Secunda Secundae, that is Latin for the second part of the second part. I honestly don't know why there's second part of the second part, but there is Secunda Secundae, and you can go there, and that is the treatise on the virtues. And so faith, hope, and love are the theological virtues first, and then there are the cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and they're in an order. And he explains why you can't have authentic prudence without faith, hope, and love. You can't have authentic justice without prudence. You can't practice fortitude without prudence and justice. And you can't practice temperance without fortitude and all the other things. So they all depend on each other. And when you get to temperance, he makes the point that it is a virtue. And what is virtue? This is like putting on the professor hat real quick here. Virtue is where we are seeking the good. We're using reason to seek the good. So dogs don't have virtue. So I was going to talk about my dog. Dogs don't have virtue. They can't practice virtue. We can reason because it's human nature to reason. And so that applies to all the virtues. But when we get to temperance, it means that we desire pleasures that are becoming to us. So good food, we desire that, but we also desire to withdraw when it's contrary to reason. So like a dog will just eat the whole bag of dog food until he feels sick and then he'll stop, and it may be too late by then. But we can actually think ahead. We can reason about what we ought to do because that is our human nature. We can withdraw from something that we know will be evil, like eating the whole box of donuts, because we have a healthy fear of God. We withdraw from things that are sinful. We shun those things. So that's what temperance is, because we know that our appetites, this is St. Thomas's language, our appetites can be corrupted by things which seduce us into forsaking the rule of reason. That means we know we see the whole box of donuts and we want to eat it. And we know we would probably enjoy eating it, but we also know it wouldn't be good for our bodies. We know that we would probably feel sick afterwards. And even if we didn't feel sick, it's just not healthy to live that way. So we don't want to forsake the rule of reason. We don't want to forsake the divine law. We want to, with temperance, moderate our passions. With fasting specifically, so a dog's not going to say, I'm going to fast on Friday for life. A dog won't say that. My dog, as much as she dog loves me, she would not, my German Shepherd, she's beautiful. We walk lots of miles together. She would not forego the sandwich on the counter just so I could eat it if I'm hungry. Like, she would not do that for me. She would totally eat the sandwich because she's a dog and that's her nature. But I, if my dog was starving, I could say, I'm not having the sandwich because I love you, dog, and I want you to have the sandwich. So that's the difference in us, right? So what is fasting and why fast? And we're going to wrap this up and then get on to the second segment where we can talk to Deanna. But I want you to have these three reasons, always formulas. You see, like, it is kind of geeking out, but we're making it make sense. St. Thomas it's called Question 147, Article 1 in the Secunda Secundae part of the Summa, Mama Theologia here. He says there are three reasons or three purposes for fasting. And you probably heard stuff like this before, but I just think it's beautiful the way he says it. Number one, bridle the lusts of the flesh. That's one reason, to bridle the lust of the flesh. Because, he says, lust is cooled by abstinence in meat and drink. Now, what does that mean? It means if you go to the Walmart and you buy a bag of Takis because you love Takis, T-A-K-I-S, my kids love those. Like, it's, I can get them to do anything if for a bag of Takis. And you buy that bag of Takis and you really want to eat the Takis. If you know you're going to be tempted beyond reason to eat them and make yourself sick, then bridle the lust of the flesh by removing them from your sight. Put them somewhere where you won't look at them. And the more you don't eat them, the more you don't eat them, the more you're okay with not eating them. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the more that you're not sitting there saying, I need a Takis, and you have one. I need a Takis. Like, you're constantly consumed with it. I need five more Takis, just five more. I just need 10 more because that'll just be one serving and it'll just be 150 calories and it'll be cool. And I won't tell my phone on my meal app that I had those calories. It'll be cool. But you're not bridling the lust of the flesh. You're consumed with the Takis. So one reason to fast is say, I'm taking that off my mind. I am forcing myself not to obsess about eating those things. So that's one reason to fast. Bridle the lust of the flesh. Second reason, so the mind may arise more freely to the contemplation of heavenly things. And this is where we get to the March for Life. So the mind may arise more freely to the contemplation of heavenly things. It just simply means, see how it fits to the thing we just said before? If you're not obsessing about the Takis or the ham sandwich or the pizza in the oven, if you're not obsessing about those things, then your mind is free to contemplate more heavenly things. And that's what we want to do on Friday. So we're talking about specifically fasting from food, but some of you are saying that you're fasting from other things. And that's okay too. St. Thomas is only talking about food here, but the same applies whether it's internet or something else. So if you're, the third thing then is to satisfy for sins. So on Friday, when you're fasting, put things out of reach, out of mind, turn your mind more to prayer, and then pray for mercy on us and the whole world for the sin of abortion in our country. I'm Stacy Trisankos. We're going to be back after the break and talk to Deanna Johnston.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. This is Stacy Trisankos filling in for Timory while she enjoys her new baby girl. Before the break, we were talking about the Fast for Life, and I just want to remind you one more time to go to therelevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, and you will see information about Fasting for Life on Friday, January 29th, in unison for prayer and sacrifice for the end of abortion, legalized abortion in our country. We have a guest with us today, and it is my pleasure to tell you about her. I have the honor of getting to see Deanna Johnston in the office every week at the St. Philip Institute, and I met her the first time about 3 years ago. She is the director of family life for the St. Philip Institute. This is an institute where I'm the executive director, and we all work for Bishop Joseph Strickland in the Diocese of Tyler because he wanted to implement a consistent teaching structure throughout the diocese. And Deanna deals with anything related to family life, which is huge. She's been a blessing to the diocese. Her background, she has from the University of Memphis, she has a BA in philosophy and Spanish. She's bilingual. She later earned her MA in theology, her master's degree in arts, from Newman University in Wichita, Kansas. She's also certified Billings Ovulation Method NFP teacher. She and her husband, Michael, have been married since October of 2013, and they now have four beautiful little children, Alexandria, Simon, Elena, and Leo, all of whom have graced the chancery in the Diocese of Tyler with their presence quite often. They are lovely to have them coming through. Deanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
It's good to talk to you here. So I wanted you to give everybody a little bit. Could you tell us just quickly about what it is you're doing in the Diocese of Tyler? What does it mean to implement a structure for teaching or forming people in family life throughout the diocese?
Yeah. So, and you may have talked about it on the show before, but Bishop had written the Constitution on Teaching the Catholic Faith in 2017. And that document is what brought my family here and I think others in the Institute. In that document, Bishop outlined a vision for teaching the Catholic faith in East Texas. And I think all of Section 3 has to do with the family and how do we serve families, married couples, how do we totally revamp what marriage formation is? And he took that as an opportunity to say, okay, we need to, because marriage is so important, because marriage is the foundation for the family, we really need to invest in solid marriage formation. So a lot of what I do is focused on, like you were saying, just the family, marriage formation for engaged couples. And Bishop is really intentional about calling it marriage formation and not just marriage prep, because we're not just graduating them after they say yes at the altar, but really providing this ongoing formation, ongoing support for couples, because marriage is hard, as we all know, and life changes once kids enter the picture. So really looking at, okay, how do we provide support to engaged couples before the wedding? How do we help newlyweds, especially in those first 5 years of married life? And then how do we continue to walk with couples through all seasons of life? And so a lot falls under that umbrella of teaching the faith for families.
Yes, and Deanna has done such a great job of really thinking through what that means to form families. I mean, you're working on a program now that teaches teenage girls about their bodies so that they're ready to understand NFP when they get older. So, I mean, it's just biology, but she thinks through every part of it. And she lives it too, right, Deanna?
I'm trying. I sure am trying. I was laughing when you were describing our car seat situation, because I was like, oh yeah, we do buckle a lot of car seats and change a lot of butts right now. But yeah.
Chasing them all around. And, you know, I think, so it's always been interesting. Like, Deanna's had two babies while we've worked together at the Institute. And it's like, okay, we have the director of family life and she's pregnant. You've been pregnant a lot. And she's pregnant and like she's going to have this baby. It's like, well, what do you do in that situation? And I remember it's like, well, we have to embrace the family. Like we can't say to her, Deanna, you have to forget about your family to do this job because you need to be a really good director of family life. Like that wouldn't have made sense. And so we got Deanna.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about what that was like. She brought her babies to work. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. I've actually been able to bring all four of my children to work with me. Before we moved to East Texas, I was working in the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas at a parish. And I've just been really fortunate to have very pro-life, pro-family pastors in my life. And with my oldest two, they came to work with me for a season. And with my younger two being here in East Texas, I just felt really grateful because one of the first things that Bishop Strickland said when we moved here was, if it doesn't work for your family, then it's not good for the diocese.
Yeah.
So if something's getting in the way of you being able to put your family first, then we need to reevaluate things. So when I found out I was pregnant with number three, that was a conversation that I had with him and some of the leadership of the diocese, and so grateful for executive directors that have been just so supportive of my primary vocation, that as passionate as I am about, you know, helping people in marriage formation and, you know, fertility awareness and all of these things, my number one job is to be a good wife and mom, and to work for a bishop and for a ministry that really supports that vision is such a gift. So it's not without challenges, for sure. I remember bringing Elena to the office, and I think I passed her to you a couple of times, and yes, she slept on your lap while I got a few things done. But just having that flexibility to have the kids here until it makes sense. Because, yeah, they do start to get wiggly and more mischievous around the 7-8 month mark. But yeah, just to have that ability has been a real grace.
And it's been a grace to the people you work with, because it's I mean, you walk by Deanna's office, and if, what does that sign say if you're busy nursing?
So I'm, right. So nursing mom, breastfeeding mom. So when the babies aren't with me, I have a sign on my door that has a cow with a halo on it that says, "Holy cow, currently pumping liquid gold, come back later." And that's
so
been,
we just
that's
leave
been
you alone. And her office, like, she has her office, she has a part of it, like, when the babies, during the months when the babies are coming, there's like an area where the baby goes, and you have it set up, like, you roll out the changing station on top of one of the cabinets, and she has it all set up, and you're just really, I mean, I don't think just anybody could do that, because I would have been a nervous wreck. But I did work. But we also have, like, a bishop encourages this. We also have a pretty flexible work schedule, and that is something. I mean, it occurred to me a long time ago when I left DuPont and started working from home. I was like, moms can work infused with their kid. Dads can too. We can work infused with our kids. You just have to think about it a little more. But we have a very flexible work schedule. Like, you work from home when you work from home, you come to the office when you come to the office. And, I mean, what's that like through your eyes, like, having to manage all that, what advice can you give?
It is not without its challenges. And I think having you as the executive director is very helpful, because you are a mom. And so, you know, the reality of, what little people, having lots of little people at one time, can do. And there
Good
is,
job,
I mean,
Deanna.
There is, thanks.
You said it right. Thank you.
But it's just, it, like, just knowing that there is that freedom, or having that flexibility, and it does require, like, some planning and a lot of communication, like, with our team, and saying, like, okay, I'm not going to be able to sit down at my computer from 8 to 5 nonstop. Like, that's just not a reality. But having these spaces of time where I am focused on, you know, just the ministry, or taking advantage of nap time, like, there's a ton of things that get done when you know that the baby's going to wake up in 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest support was just knowing that I was welcome, and I had the support of the team, because I know so many women who have been in kind of hostile work situations where it's like, oh, you're bringing a baby to work, or just feeling guilty for making their children a priority, or having to step back from work in some way. But the way that we have structured things here, it really does allow me to keep my family first, but also, you know, really hopefully contribute to a ministry that I love and feel very passionate about. And there are seasons where it's like, okay, I really do need mm-hmm. to slow down and just mm-hmm. focus on baby and kids and family life. But I think, just going back to what Bishop had said initially, if it wasn't good for our family, then it's not good for the diocese. And I mean, God's just been really good in being able to discern those seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it takes a lot. But, you know, I was really, when COVID-19 hit back in March last year, we sort of took the hit, but then we kept going. I mean, our events got canceled, mm-hmm. and that was heartbreaking because Deanna put a lot of work into all that. But as far as like how we work, I think it behooved us to already be in the habit of, you know, do what you need to do to get the job done, and be the flexible work home life. It actually prepared us for when COVID-19 hit. Don't you kind of think it did?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. We were used to that structure and communicating. And I think communication is the key thing, that we were able to have that flexibility because we're supporting each other and just keeping each other up to date on what was going on. So yeah. It worked.
Yeah. And it did get frustrating. Like we could do a whole show just on leadership and work culture and the things that we've had to think about because it's true. We don't want to just talk the talk. We want to walk the walk, and we want to live our faith even in the family life. And, you know, Luke, who's going to be on Thursday, the director of Faith Formation, they have 5 children, and, you know, the people in the Institute are either, still young and not married and not have children, or they have a lot of children. So we have a lot of children in the Institute. And
there is no in between. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no in between. So, so it's, but I think just at a big level, like when you're trying to figure out how to run an organization and how to get something done, like Deanna's trying to do, and like I'm trying to do with Bishop Strickland, one thing we always say is know what problem we're trying to solve. Like, we're not trying to solve the problem of being in the office 8 to 5. That's not the problem we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve the problem of how to engage the culture here in East Texas and put formation in place that helps people. So it's been interesting, and I really appreciate you coming on, Deanna, to share your experiences with us. Would you have any advice specifically for moms who might be in your situation trying to figure out what to do out there?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, of course, is to take all of it to prayer to really discern, you know, like where is God leading you and your family in this particular situation? And I do appreciate that about the ministry that we have within the Institute, is that it's rooted in prayer and just constantly discerning, what does God want for my family? And am I doing what's best for them? And trusting him with all of those details, because it really is worth it in the end. I feel like I've been able to experience the blessing of, just a really positive pro-family, pro-life work environment, just working under Bishop Strickland and with you. Mm-hmm. But I know that not everybody has that in place, but really taking that to prayer and entrusting your family, into God's hands, because he always comes through.
Yep. Yes. Amen to the prayer. Well, thank you for being on, Deanna, and thank you for saying nice things about me. No, you totally, no, we're on the same team, and that's why we sometimes have disagreements on the team, because we all have the best interests of the Institute at heart. And Deanna, it's lovely to work with you, and I thank God for you every day. Thank you so much.
Ditto.
We'll be back after the break and talk a little bit more about working moms.
Relevant Radio is supported by CatholicSingles.com and the Catholic Singles app, the Catholic dating community for single men and women to meet other single Catholics through interactive polls and personalized matches. CatholicSingles.com, genuinely Catholic.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hello, this is Stacey Trasankos, and I'm joined with my colleague, Deanna Johnston, from the St. Philip Institute. And we were talking before the break about what it's like to be a working mom, and specifically working at the St. Philip Institute with Bishop Joseph Strickland. I want to bring this into a bigger context now. And Deanna, I would love to get your reaction to this article. It was in the New York Post. I read a variety of sources every day, as I just find it interesting to see what's going on out there. The title is called "Working from Home While Kids Learn Remote Drives NYC Mom Near Breakdown ... Lawsuit. So apparently there's a lawsuit that has been initiated because of this situation. So I just want to tell you about the situation. It's in Queens. And I think a lot of us can relate to it, but I'm not really sure. Like, I live in Texas, which is a million miles away from New York City, but I've spent some time in New York City, and I understand things are different there, but I think we can all relate to this story. So let me tell you a story. So the mom is juggling remote learning, like a lot of parents throughout the world, juggling remote learning, working from home, and it nearly gave her a breakdown because when the coronavirus swept through New York City and it hit there much harder than it hit here in Texas, she is a computer engineer. She worked for a company called, I forget the name of it, but she worked for a firm in New York, and her husband was an engineer. So there are two professionals, and they have two children that attend class online during the pandemic. She also has her elderly parents who share a home with the family. So to keep the parents safe, her older parents, the husband and wife decided to, her name is Nimya. Nimya and her husband decided to keep their children at home, their 7-year-old and their 4-year-old, to stay home and do online school so they wouldn't be going to school and bringing back any germs to their grandparents. She works for a Manhattan tech company. So she and her husband decided to try to juggle that. So they are both still working. She's a contracts manager at the Manhattan tech company, and he's an engineer, and their children are doing online school. Now, I know that you might think, I'm just saying, I get this, because you think it might be easy that your kids are doing online school and you're going to work from home. Because, but way before coronavirus, I did this for like 10 years because I left my job and I stayed home, but then I started writing and teaching online myself. And then I started homeschooling my kids, and I almost pulled my hair out too, because I'm trying to homeschool kids and I'm trying to teach online and I'm trying to do a million other things. And well, let's just say I'm not homeschooling anymore because it just got to be too much. And I understand that. Well, a lot of parents are doing that all of a sudden now. I mean, I did it because I chose to. We lived in a place where I could. And that's their situation. So the mom tells her company, her tech firm, that she is having a hard time figuring out, do I work early? Do I work later? Do I stay up till 2 a.m.? How do I make sure I'm present with my kids when they're doing remote learning? How do I make sure they're not just watching Netflix on the internet? And how do I make sure I'm ready for meetings? What if they're having a meeting? And she said she literally got to a point where she was crying between meetings. And she asked the firm where she worked, the tech company, if she could have a more flexible work schedule. And the article just says something snapped in her. She couldn't do it. She got up one day and she just couldn't. She hit a wall. She couldn't keep doing the same routine. It wasn't working. And she had an anxiety attack, took a sick day, asked the company if she could have a short-term leave or some flexible work hours to rethink things. And according to the story, she was fired 3 hours later after asking for that. So she was even more in shock. She had been awarded awards at the company. She was a great employee. And then she suddenly just doesn't have a job. So now there's a lawsuit. And the point is that companies need to try to accommodate parents better. So I think there's going to be, I don't know if it'll get that extreme, but there's going to be a whole lot of this going on. And Deanna, if you could chime in here, like, knowing what you know now, because you've also been doing this way before coronavirus, mm-hmm. what if people find themselves kind of in a I'm going to snap situation, or if they think they're coming to that snap situation where it ain't working, what can they do? Mm-hmm.
That's, man, and my heart broke just reading that story, because she did the correct thing. She stopped and asked for a break, because you if it's not good for your family, it's not going to be good for your work. I think our work thrives because we're able to, you know, have this fusion of our vocations with ministry, which is a real gift. But if someone is getting to the point where it's like, I cannot do this anymore, that means something has to change. And we're living in a global pandemic. This isn't normal. And expecting that parents should just like do the 8-to-5 and also Zoom and also be a caretaker for parents and just all of those things. There are only so many hours in a day. And companies really do have to be more accommodating to the reality of the situations of families. And I was thinking about when I was reading this article, I was actually thinking about, and I know there are problems with companies like Google and Facebook and all of that, but even they have figured out that when you invest in families, when you give families time to take care of their needs, your employees perform better. Even they have figured that out. Yep. And this whole idea of, well, no, we have to shove you in a box and you have to perform the way that things have been, because that's the way that things have always been. It's just going to fall apart. Your employees are not going to thrive mm-hmm. if they can't care for their family, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, it's almost like this whole pandemic is having the effect of making companies deal with family, you know, acknowledge that people mm-hmm. have family lives, that they can't be their best selves. We can't be our best selves if we have to deny a part of ourselves while we're at work.
Exactly.
And I mean, the logistics get pretty crazy. Like, you've brought kids to meetings a whole bunch of times. You've held events with a baby on your hip.
So, yeah, you know. Yeah. Actually, it's funny because we just had a retreat, and it's the first retreat that we've had in 14 retreats where I have not been pregnant or had a baby on me the mm-hmm. whole time. But it can work. That I think that's the point, is like when you are in an environment where it is understood that families are the norm and not like this anomaly that we have to figure out, then everything flows better, because I mean, family is the foundation for society. So if families are thriving, society is going to thrive. So it really does seem simple, but yeah, it all goes back to the family. If we're not serving families, whether you're in the secular world or in ministry, then it really doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter how great the company is or how great the 10-year vision is, whatever. If what we are doing is not serving the families that are with us, then what is the point? Mm-hmm. What's the legacy that we're going to leave?
Yeah. I mean, it's like families will not be ignored. They are a force. And I mean, and I was just thinking about that. It's not even just moms even. It's because Luke Arredondo, who will be on Thursday, he brings his kids to work too. And, you know, his wife comes up there and the family, it's like his office is welcoming for his kids. They know they can come there and hang out. And we found a way. I mean, and I know that it's not going to be like that for every single workplace.
Right.
I mean, I used to work in a research lab on DuPont, and kids literally were not allowed on the premises because it wasn't safe. So, you know, I know I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, but you got to find ways to make sure the families are staying intact, that the families have what they need, the support they need, the time they need, and that they're a priority.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And it benefits everyone. And I do want to give a shout out to, I think it's St. Joseph Parish in Shreveport, Louisiana. We were just there for a parish retreat, and they have on-site childcare for their staff members. And I've never seen that. I've never seen that. But the idea was, okay, if our parish is a family of families, then that's kind of, I guess, like the mission, the theme of their parish community. Then the pastor was like, well, our employees have to be able to support their families. And so they made it work. And I, like you said, I know that not everyone can create on-site childcare. Like there's no room in the chancery for, for a childcare, but the fact that they thought outside the box, and maybe that's what a lot of these organizations and ministries need to start doing, is think outside the box. How can you make this work for families and for the job?
Right. Because if there were no families, like if you took all the families away, there would be no businesses. There would be no civilization.
Exactly.
There would be no reason to even have jobs. And, you know, the family is the backbone of society. So it is, you know, in a weird kind of way. I remember saying at the very beginning of coronavirus, we are human. We will innovate. We will figure out a way forward from all of this that will be better if we just keep trying to look through all the pain and suffering right now and see what's going to be better down the road. And I do think this example of this story in New York, and I don't know how it's going to end up in court and everything, but I think it is pressing the point that people are going to have to not ignore families. And getting back to just thank you, Deanna, so much. I always love talking to her about her family. We are getting back to, I just want to remind you before we go, the Fast for Life that Relevant Radio is hosting this Friday. It is also for families. I mean, that is the point of not killing these babies in the womb, but bringing them into this, letting them live and have their lives and grow up as part of a society, being loved unconditionally in families. So please go to the webpage, sign up for the Fast for Life, and join us on Friday. This is Stacey Trisenkos. I look forward to talking to you again on Thursday.